I just picked three. We could be here till next week sometime, or probably past that, if we just looked in the Bible and saw whose life Jesus changed. And I picked three this morning, and it's found. The first one is found in Mark chapter 5. The same exact story is found in Luke 8, if you want to write that down. And there's a few more things, just like, you know, there's different, you know, there are obviously different guys. And if you and I were explaining the same thing that we saw, we might have a few different adjectives in there, things like that. So same thing with Mark and Luke. They were telling this story about this guy that got saved. And so there's a little bit of a, not differences in things like that, but maybe some additions in a couple of them. But I'm only going to read one this morning. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Then I'm going to read verse 15, and we'll allude to the other verses as we go through. So in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says here, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, of the Gadarenes, of the country and the Gadarenes." And so it says in verse 2, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Of course, this is Jesus getting off the boat, and this man that was demon-possessed, he sees Jesus. And again, the Bible does say that the demons and the devils believe and tremble. So he knew who he was. And in verse 3 it says here, "Who had been dwelling," or "who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Verse 5, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Whew. Here it is. Not the church. Not a program. Not a Christian that's got something figured out. But it says here, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." Verse 7, "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure that thee by God that thou tormentest me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Look what it says in verse 15. It says here, "And they," all the people that knew this guy and knew what was going on, it says here, "And they come to Jesus and see him," talking about that demon-possessed man, "that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." And so we see here there was a major change that took place. And again, I know I've alluded to it already, but it wasn't a program that they were having in Jerusalem. "Come and this program will change your life." There's programs that help. There's programs out there for addiction. And you can put the 3 steps, 7 steps, 10 steps all into practice, and it will help you. But if it sticks, I promise you, it'll be Jesus that changed your life. And so, again, especially eternal change. So we see here this guy, without Jesus, we could go back through it, without Jesus, this maniac of Gadara, as he's known in the Bible, I heard one preacher say he was the rude, crude dude in the nude. All right? Let me say that one more time. He was the rude, crude dude in the nude, the maniac of Gadara. So everybody knew this guy. And, you know, don't go around him. He's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. His elevator doesn't go all the top. He does some weird stuff. But now they see him in verse 15. He's sitting there clothed in his right mind. So without Jesus, we see here he was demon-possessed. He had no clothes on. He lived in the graveyard, not in a house. This is without Jesus. He could not be bound with chains without Jesus. Night and day he roamed the mountains howling or crying like a wolf or a wolf man or whatever you want to call it. And then it says here he was cutting himself. This was out Jesus. And everybody saw that. And then we see in verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshipped him." So with Jesus, we're going to look at somebody that was demon-possessed and then cut himself and screamed and ran around with no clothes on. He gets saved. He met Jesus. In verse 6, it says here he worshiped him because the devils were gone. It says here in verse 13, it says here the unclean spirits went out. Verse 15, we've already read it. The big change in his life, he was sitting still, not running around in the mountains howling. He was sitting there. He was clothed, not running around with no clothes on. And then it says here he was in his right mind. This is with Jesus. So verse 18, it says here he wanted to go with Jesus. After all that took place, Jesus was getting back on the boat. He ran up to Jesus and said, "Hey, this great change that has taken place in my life. I was demon-possessed, now I'm not. I was crazy, now I'm not. I was naked, now I'm not. I was cutting myself, now I'm not." All this stuff took place in his life because he met Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. He said in verse 18, "I want to go with you. Wherever you're going, I'm there." And Jesus told him in verse 19, "No, what I want you to do, I want you to stay home for right now." And he said, I want you to just go about telling everybody what great things I have done unto you." And it says in verse 20, he obeyed and he departed and he began to publish. I mean, shouting it from the housetops. All that the man and all the men did marvel. That was a great change. And what was the great change? Jesus. And so what would this man, the maniac of Gadara, say? He would say, "Hey, Jesus changed my life. I know He can change yours." If you're having any of these problems, and hopefully none of these are happening in this room, but if you don't have Jesus, Jesus can change your life. Let's go over to Acts 9. A couple pages over towards the back. Acts 9. That was the first man, the maniac of Gadara, met Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. Here's another one, another familiar one. In Acts 9, verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." And so this is Saul, which obviously is going to become Paul here in a minute. But at this time, he was Saul, just like the maniac of Gadara, doing wicked things and hurtful things and just crazy demonic things. Here's Saul. He's breathing out threatenings. "Hey, you Christians, if I know you're a Christian, your head's coming off. Hey, you Christians, if I know you're a Christian, you're going to die." I mean, he's breathing out threatenings. "Speak the name of Jesus around me, I'm going to hurt you." I mean, just breathing out threatenings. And verse 2 says, "And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," in other words, "if I find any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." They're going to jail. They're going to die. Any Christians, men or women. This is his mindset. This is what he did. Verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." So just like the demon-possessed man, the maniac of Gadara, he saw Jesus. All of a sudden, Paul says there's this light that shined round about him. And it says in verse 4, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou? Lord, is that you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Verse 6, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing, but seeing no man." Verse 8, "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And when he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And when there came a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, And Ananias, he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, For one is called Saul, who of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard but many of this man. So in other words, he'd heard of Paul or Saul. And he's like, this guy, he's breathing out threatenings, Lord. He's beheading Christians, Lord. He's putting Christians in jail. Are you sure that you want me to go talk to him? And it says here, he has done the saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. I mean, it's okay. The authorities have told him it's okay for you to bind Christians and so forth. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. So we'll stop right there for the sake of time. So we see here, obviously, the rude dude in the nude met Jesus and Jesus changed his life. Here is Saul that's persecuting Christians, putting them in jail. And so without Jesus, he's breathing threatenings. He's slaughtering people. He's binding men and women and bringing them to jail. He's persecuting Jesus and anyone that believes on him and is following him. Then he's also blind. In verse 15, it tells him to go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. So without Jesus, he's doing all this threatenings and all this murders and all these slaughters. But with Jesus, he's a chosen vessel. God had made a change in his life. He's going to preach to the Gentiles. Verse 18, it says here, when Ananias touched him, his scales fell off and he received his sight forthwith, immediately. Verse 20 says here, and straightway he preached Christ. So, was faithful to the church at Antioch with Jesus. If you read the rest of Paul's story, of course, he realizes, I was wrong. Jesus made a change in his life. He's gotten to church. He started being a soul winner. He started reading the Bible. He started growing in Christ. And if you read that whole story, he became a pillar of the community at the Antioch Baptist Church. And he was doing great things there, preaching and singing and leading people to Christ. And then we see here he had gotten the victory over his past. So he was like, okay, Jesus changed my life. I was Saul, now I'm Paul. But the devil kept reminding him, hey, you know you're still Saul. Hey, you know what you used to do. Hey, you know before Jesus, this is what... Yeah, and so Paul had to accept forgiveness. Again, that's what a lot of people tell us a lot of times. I'm a sinner, I admit that, but there's no way Jesus can forgive me of this, this, and this. I'm here to tell you. And Paul would get in line and say, he can. I don't care what the past was. I don't care what you've done. Jesus can change your life. Why? He changed mine. And that's what Paul would say. So we see here he was faithful to the church at Antioch, and he had gotten victory over his past. Then it says he left the church of Antioch as a missionary. And he went and started church after church after church and led people to Christ. Why? Because Jesus had changed his life. So the story of multiple churches. So Paul would say, just like the maniac at Gadara, Jesus can change your life. I know because he's changed mine. Let's look at one other place, Acts chapter 3. So we'll go back towards the front a few pages. Acts chapter 3. It says here, and I'll start reading and you can get there and catch up. In verse 1, Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And it says here, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily. I mean, they just kept bringing him every morning, at the gate of the temple, which called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he was begging for money. He couldn't make any, so he's begging for some to provide. Verse 3, it says here, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. It says here, and he gave heed unto them. And he said, look right here at me. All right? I'm telling you, I don't have a program that can help you. I haven't figured it out, so I can't help you. But look right here. And he told him, and give heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. They say, okay, they're going to help us. They're going to fix me. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, it says here, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat before the alms at the beautiful gate in the temple, and were filled with wonder and amazement what had happened to him. So all three of these guys, everybody before the change knew them. That's the maniac of Gadara. That's Saul. That's that lame guy they've brought to the gate every day that's always begging. But then Jesus shows up and makes the change, and you see in all three of these stories, wonder and amazement. Wow! They were all thrilled at what took place. And they all knew that it had to be Jesus. So Paul, the maniac, would say, hey, Jesus can change your life. I know, because he's changed mine. Saul would say, hey, Jesus can change your life. I know. Why? Because he's changed mine. This lame, blind man would say, hey, he can change your life. Why? I know he changed mine. Because without Jesus, he was lame from his mother's womb. Without Jesus, he had to be carried everywhere he went. Without Jesus, he had to beg for alms. With Jesus, it says here, immediately his feet and ankles received strength. He jumped up and he walked into the church. That's a good place to go after Jesus changes your life. And he was walking and leaping and praising God. And then in verse 10, it says here, he had that testimony of wonder and amazement. So he would say, just like the maniac of Gadara and Saul, hey, Jesus can change your life. He changed mine. I'm going to give you a couple of people that I know of. They weren't Bible characters, but people that I know of that God has used in a great and mighty way after they changed their life. Anybody know the name Carl Hatch? It's been a while. He's passed away. Okay, I see one or two. All right. He was a drunkard, not saved. He would beat his wife when he got drunk. I mean, rough character. But somebody started praying for him. And somebody gave him a gospel tract. And somebody started witnessing to him. And he was like, no, not me. Why would God want to save me? And of course, time after time, as the Holy Spirit does, kept convicting. He got saved. Obviously, he apologized to his wife. God changed his life. Not a program. Not a church. Not an individual. But God changed his life. And become what I think that I know of probably the best soul winner ever in my lifetime. Great evangelist. I mean, I didn't see him. I heard that he got on a bus in Atlanta, Georgia. I think it was MARTA, the public transportation. He got on and told the driver, he goes, hey, let me see that speaker, the little microphone. He said, my father owns this bus. Like, what? He got the microphone and he quoted the verse, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he quoted that he owned the earth and all its fullness thereof. And then he witnessed to the whole bus before they could get him to shut up. All right. I mean, this dude was just a soul winning machine. He went to a rest area, went in to go to the restroom. Obviously, you got your bank of places to go to the restroom. He's like, read this while you're sitting there. 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 In the rest area, funny story. John R. Rice. Anybody heard that name? Okay, he was in one of those stalls. Read this while you're sitting there. He goes, "Is that you, Carl?" He's like, "Yes, it is, John. How are you doing today?" All right. And so, I mean, great soul winner. And he would say, "Hey, I used to drink. I used to beat my wife. I was a hellion. But Jesus changed my life." And I know he can change yours. Another preacher that I know, and we're going to have him in September, Chris Dallas. Anybody ever heard that name? All right, Chris Dallas, okay? You'll meet him on the 8th of September. I mean, rough. Parents had to kick him out of his house. He would not. I mean, drug problem, just crazy stuff. Stealing from his parents to buy drugs. Took his key, would not let him stay at their house. But God saved him. And now he's an evangelist. And you're going to hear him on September 8th. Great preacher. He may even allude to that transformation. And so these two men that were rough characters, just like Paul or Saul was, just like the maniac of Gadara was, say, hey, there's no hopeless case. Jesus can change your life. And, you know, I know of a young lady that I'm going to tell you about now. That's for preachers. No, it's for everybody. First time I met this young lady, she was 15 years old. She came into our church wearing all black. Most of it was leather, including the dog collar around her neck with spikes sticking out like this. Rough, rough character. 15-year-old girl. She's sitting on the front row. I'm leading the singing. I mean, she's looking at the hymn book. She's trying to sing. This dude behind her was messing with her. This was in teen church. He was messing with her, pushing her, bumping her elbow. She turns around, sets the hymn book down, turns around, I mean, right in his nose. Boom! Took this dude out. And I was like, good for her. But anyway, he quit messing with her. But I mean, rough. Now I got a letter from her last year at this time with a picture of her son, me baptizing him. And he graduated from our Christian school down there in Florida last year, and they're still faithful to church. I mean, a dog collar wearing lady. I don't know if you can put, I guess, woman, female. All right? But God changed her life. As a young child, I would hear my parents, I mean, knock down, drag out, fighting, screaming at each other. See my dad drunk. Saw him in the back of a cop car before. And then God using the death of my brother to get his attention. And now he can stand in the pulpit and thank God for taking his son. Saying, because if he hadn't, I'd be on my way to hell still. But God changed my life, and now he gives me a chance to preach the gospel. I saw that happen with my own eyes. I'm still full of amazement and wonder. Why? Because I saw Jesus change my dad's life. And then the last one I'll use, and then we'll get into the outline, is you're looking at him. I saw God change their life. I felt, saw it, experienced it. Because I was basically just like a lot of teenagers, I was more worried about me than anybody else. It was all about me. And I just did everything to be popular and all that kind of stuff. And God, through events that took place in my life, I watched him change my life. So we're seeing here that some of these people, there's a lot of people in the Bible that God saved out of a life of sin. Maniac of Gadara, God saved him out of that life. Saul, God saved him out of that life. The lame man, God saved him out of that life. All the ones that I've mentioned today, including myself, God saved us out of that life. Some of you are sitting in here and you've been in church your whole life. You haven't had this past. What I think, God saved you from that life. And so God made a change in your life too. My wife, as a junior high student, she would hear people like, we would have people that would come to us in youth meetings and things like that. And it seemed like that's what they were looking for. Somebody that had that, I mean, wicked life, so a great transformation and then a major change. But if you grew up from the nursery to an adult in the pew, never drank, never cussed, never smoked, never gotten involved in that kind of stuff, you're like, well, there's not a great change in my life. You're wrong. You're wrong. He just stopped it before it happened. So God changed your life too. So we see here the first group of people we're looking at, God can change your life if you do have a past. Second group we're looking at is if you didn't have a past, you got saved early in life, God saved you from that past. So praise God, He made a great change in your life. But then there's a third type of person. There's a person that grew up in the church nursery. They were in church faithful. They knew the Bible. They got saved early in life. They got baptized. They've served God. They've served God. They've served God. But they left it. But they left it. Prodigal son. When the prodigal son got home that day, you know what he'd say? He'd come to himself. I've just blown it. I have made a mess. Even those servants back at my dad's house eat way better than this. I'm just going to go back and tell him, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm just worthy. I just want to come home and serve. So just let me come. But you know what he did? He grabbed him. He kissed him on the neck. What a change in that person's life. David, a man after God's own heart, blew it with adultery. And he stayed and cried on his bed and said, God, I want that relationship back. And God changed him back to the man after God's own heart. So Jesus can change your life if you do have a past. Jesus did change your life if you don't have a past. And if you've blown it somewhere in the middle, Jesus can still change your life. He's saying, come on back. Come back, prodigal son. Come back, David. We've mentioned these verses lately that vessel was marred in the potter's hands. And so what did the potter do? He just made another vessel. If you've blown it, if you've made a mistake, Jesus can still change your life. He's a master at it. A couple of things we'll see, and then we'll get here to the conclusion. Point number one, God can change your mind. God can change your mind. I'm going to read. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it in Acts 28. In Acts 28, verse 1, it says here, and when they were in camp then, they knew that the island was called Melita. It says here, and the barbarians, people showed up, and no little kindness, and they kindled a fire and received everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. It says here, and when Paul had gathered a bundle, this is after he was changed. This was Paul, not Saul. Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid on the fire, and they came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw this venomous beast hanging on his hand, they were among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. It says here, and he shook off the beast into the fire, and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he saw have swollen, or should have swollen, or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked, it says here, a great while, and saw no harm come to him. And here it is. They changed their minds. They changed their minds. Obviously, God, that day when the maniac of Gadara got changed and he was sitting in their right mind, and people looked at him and said, isn't this the guy that was cutting himself and howling and things like that? He's sitting here in his right mind, singing songs, praising the Lord. It must be real. I'm going to change my mind. Here's what Saul. God, you sure you want me to go over and lay my hands on him? This guy, he's brutal to Christians. You go ahead. He's a changed man. And they saw, is this not Saul? And now look at him. He was persecuting Christians, and now he's preaching Christ. They changed their mind. So when God does something great like that, He can change our mind. He can change our mind about God. He can change our mind about religion. He can change our mind about His Word. He can change our mind about others. He can change our mind. God can change your mind. Number two, God can change your countenance. And I won't take time to read these, but in Job 14:20, talks about Job's countenance. I mean, all these bad things had happened to Job. His children had passed away. He'd lost his money. He'd lost his wealth. He'd lost his friends. All this. But it says, yet Job sinned not. And he handled it perfectly. And God helped his countenance. They were like his wife even. Job, just curse God and die. Had a nice countenance. God had changed his countenance. Daniel, you know the story about the, you know, they were trying to, you know, hoodwink the king. You know, you make this law, and if people pray, they can get cast in a, it says here, his countenance changed. Oh no, I've blown it. Daniel, are you okay? His countenance had dropped. Obviously, Pharaoh's countenance was hardened. Proverbs 21:29 says this, and a wicked man hardeneth his face. So the rude, crude dude in the nude probably had a rough countenance. Saul's yelling out slaughterings and murders and threatenings probably had a hard countenance. This dude was blind from the day of his birth. He was probably mad at God. Why am I blind? Why is this happening to me? And his countenance was probably hardened. All three of them, when Jesus changed their life, guarantee you he changed their countenance. The ones that were looking at it and seeing it happen that didn't believe in God or didn't trust, now they see a man change right in front of their face. Their countenance has probably changed. So God can change your mind. He can change your countenance. Here's one in Galatians 4:20. He can change your voice. He can change your voice. It says here, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. Change your voice. Obviously, you can tell by somebody's tone. If my dad ever called for me, boy, I could tell by the voice. What has he found out? Because I've done several things stupid. I just don't know which one he found out about. All right, but I could tell by the voice. He was mad. You know, sometimes my mom, you know, she was the all three names. If it was just Rob or maybe even Robbie, I was okay. James, Robert, Stanley, I was dead. All right, the voice, it's obvious. And God says here, He can change your voice. Some of us are mean-spirited when we talk. Some of us are hateful when we talk. But you let Jesus change your life, and I know, because He changed mine. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. The Bible tells us to, hey, you need to know how to answer every man. And matter of fact, let it be seasoned with salt. So God can change your voice. I know He changed mine. Those four-letter words that we say a lot. I hadn't said one in years and years and years. It didn't happen immediately, but God changed my voice. What I talk about, crude things or rude things or ungodly things, out the window. I talk about godly things and what God wants in my life. God can change your voice. I've heard a little saying here. It says, weak people talk about people. Ouch. Gossipers, backbiters, slanderers, or what the Bible calls them. But weak people, that's what they talk about people. In other words, what they want to do is deflect everything off of themselves and say, have you heard about, or did you hear, or did you see? And weak people talk about people. Average people talk about things. Right? At least they're not talking about people. But average people talk about things. Did you see my new? Or man, I want to have one of. And all they talk about is things. But strong people, godly people, they talk about ideas and God. So, where do you fall in that category? Jesus can change your voice. Number four, not only can He change your mind, and He can change your countenance, He can change your voice. Next, He can change your image. Your image or your testimony. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but with open face, beholding as in a glass, talking about looking in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Jesus can change your life, change your image. The Bible says even a child is known by his doings. So when your name is mentioned, something pops in people's mind. If it's a bad image, oh, that's that maniac from Gadara. Oh, that's that persecuting Christian Saul. Oh, that's that lame man that always begging. But Jesus can change, and it's a different testimony. He can change your image. The Bible says right there, if you just keep looking in the glass. The Bible calls itself a mirror. Keep looking in the mirror. It'll change it step by step by step from glory to glory is what the Bible says. And He can change your image. Nobody's going to listen to me. I was this. Saul could have said that. He became Paul. I'm sure those first couple of years of him preaching, I don't know if I'm going to listen to this guy or not. Last time I heard about him, he was killing Christians. But God, step by step by step, changed his image. This is the Apostle Paul. I've heard preachers say probably the greatest Christian in the New Testament. God can change your image. And lastly, God can change your body. God can change your body. Now, obviously we saw the lame man get changed immediately. One day we will be changed immediately. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15:52. It says here, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be, and there it is, changed. Right now we have to carry around this old flesh. I was telling Sarah a while ago, I am sore. I had to take some ibuprofen this morning. They made me play volleyball yesterday. Oh my goodness. My brain still says, hey, you're 18, you can spike. Hey, you're 18, you can dig that out. 56 says, nuh-uh. And I'm mad that you tried. But one day, I won't have to worry about ibuprofen anymore. I'll have a glorified body, changed in a twinkling of an eye. Philippians 3:21 says this, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto a glorious body. So we have a promise in the Bible that God, hey, I can change your life. I can change your mind. I can change your countenance. I can change your voice. I can change your image. And I can even one day change your body. So in conclusion, what I'm going to try to say today, that whole sermon was this. Jesus can change your life. I know because He changed mine. Those other fellows would say that. Those other people I testified about could say that. But here's what I want you to know in the conclusion today, that Jesus can change your direction. If you're not saved, you're going that way. But Jesus can change your life and you can go this way. He can change your direction. So not only can He change your direction in heaven and hell, He can also change the direction you're heading in life. Okay, your flesh says, I want to go this direction. The world says, hey, hey, come over here and party with us and go this direction. Maybe your so-called friends say, hey, come go this direction. But Jesus can change your life. I went against the world, my own flesh, and my friends, so-called. What happened to you? Jesus changed my life. And now I'm heading in this direction. I'm going down that straight and narrow road, not that broad road that leads to destruction. He can change your direction. Next, we can see here, He can change your demeanor. He can change your demeanor. Your outlook on life. You know, some people are just mad, arms crossed, lip out, eyes beady, teeth gritted. They're just mad. Why? I don't know, just mad. Jesus can change your demeanor. I mean, something bad happened, like your car breaking down on the side of the road. Well, glory to God. What? That's just the way I look at it. Glory to God. There must have been something down the road that He's trying to stop me from. God is in control of everything. He can change your demeanor. We've already talked about this a little bit. He can change your dialogue. What you talk about. If anybody comes up to you and has to go like this, before they say it, you probably don't need to hear it. Change your dialogue. Hey, come here. Hey. Just say, never mind. See you. Right? He can change your dialogue. Used to, you talked about, you know, getting drunk or partying. Now you talk about Jesus. Now you talk about going to church. Now you talk about your family. He can change your dialogue. Here's one, and we all need this one. He can change your determination. He can change your determination. I can't do anything. I'm just a mess. There's no way I can. He can change your demeanor. Again, not in yourself, not turning over new leaves, not going your five steps, but let Jesus do it. Let Jesus change your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. This one thing I do, Paul said. That guy that was Saul, that Jesus changed his life. This one thing I do. Paul was determined. So we see here, Jesus can change your life. He can change your direction. He can change your demeanor. He can change your dialogue, what you talk about. He can change your determination. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek's going to come. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll stand. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, first of all, let me just say personally, thank you for changing my life. Obviously saving me. Like the prodigal son, like David, you let me come back even though I'd blown it, messed up. Thank you for changing my life. Lord, help everybody sitting here today. Lord, if they were saved at a young age and they don't have a past, thank you for saying, hey, thank you for changing my life. Keep me from that sin. So whatever it is, a past you can change. You can keep us from. You can also let us come back. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation. If you need to be saved, come. If you want to come pray, thank God for changing your life. Altar is open.